When Adam first saw Eve, he said something. And that something, perhaps above everything else, was an act of receiving. He was saying, in effect, God, I receive her as a gift from your hand, perfect and perfecting in her influence on me. I thereby liberate her to be all to me that she was made to be, and give myself to her as a responsible one, to be to her all that I was made to be to her, so that both of us together may be to you and to creation all that we were made to be. And I began to hear things I'd never heard before out of my mouth. In fact, somewhere along the way, George said, "Preacher, I never heard anything like this in my life." I said, "I haven't either." And I had no time to stop. It was coming, and I needed to go on. And so I began to share with him further. He was absolutely aghast, open-eyed and open-mouthed and wide-eyed. I went on to explain the principle to him. I'd never really thought it through before, but God seemed to have it ready, and out my mouth it came. Right in the middle of it, I had a revelation. I had another revelation about a revelation. Now, you know, man and woman were made for each other. She was made to bring him to completion so that they two together may be all to God and all to creation and all to the total redemptive purpose of God that they were made to be. So that every quality about her would be beneficial to the completion of the qualities in him, and vice versa. Now, even with the fall, God did not give up his primary plan. It is still that man may, in the image of God, after his likeness, reign and be a vehicle through which the glory of God can be seen now and forever. And it is well to remember that when God states a purpose, that purpose is going to be achieved by sovereignty. God has not given up. God's not about to close the age in total disappointment. The issue is that what God asserted in creation and what has been attacked as the purpose of God ever since will one day be gloriously achieved, and you and I are going to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. And I saw that, you see, God is so all-inclusive in his providence that he can take even those bad things that happen, and sometimes especially those bad things that happen, and has the power to transform them into something fantastically beautiful, productive. And I saw something that I'd never seen before. I guess that God began to put several things together. I remembered how that Joseph was sold by his wicked brothers, a victim of their jealousy, of their animosity, of their bitterness. And down to Egypt he was sold. And down there he was mistreated, deceived by a godless woman, and unjustly punished for it. But when it was all over, he had judged it like this. "It wasn't you," to his brothers he said, "it was God. It wasn't bad, it was good." And he knew this principle, that God was able to take a good thing, a bad thing, transform it into something good. And I saw, all of a sudden, that not only the good things in a woman, bless a man, but those things that are not quite so good, those things he'd change if he could, and vice versa, those things in a man that a woman would change if she could, have been brought into that marriage for a constructive purpose. I guess I got the clue when I began to look around me and saw the weird combinations God put together in marriage. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, the chances are you'll not have to look several rows to see one. I mean, you know, it just works so many times that it's just uncanny. It'd have to be by design, not by accident. For instance, have you ever noticed how that here's a woman who is the paragon of neatness? And she sort of worships a clean house, and she herself is impeccable. And the Lord allows her to fall in love with a fella who's never thought about it. I mean, he's just by nature about a degree and a third left of plumb sloppy. And doesn't seem to, she just falls in love helplessly with him. And she has the house looking like $1 million. Give him 5 seconds from door to kitchen and it looks like an accident, a train wreck. I can tell we have some prospects. Or here is a man who who is a stickler for time. Somewhere it was computed that it was a sin to be late into his mind. And he absolutely goes off the handle when an employee is 3 minutes late. He'll lecture him for 30 minutes for being 3 minutes late. Who does he fall in love with? Well, a woman who he says is going to be 30 minutes late at her own funeral. She hasn't been on time yet. Or here's one.